Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie, Sky and Telescope's executive editor, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see in December. You won't need a telescope or fancy equipment, just bring your curiosity. Okay, I know it's getting cold outside, but just take my word for it, December is one of the best times of the year to go stargazing. For one thing, the sky doesn't have all the humid air and haze that hangs around during summer. You step outside and the air just looks clean. And clean air means the stars and planets are easier to see. Then you factor in what this season has to offer overhead, which is a lot. The winter sky is adorned with some of the brightest stars, including the brightest star after the sun, of course, and it gets dark early, by 5 p.m. in most places. Heck, sometimes I try to sneak in a little stargazing before supper. So there are lots of good reasons to head outside after sunset. But before you do, you need to get ready. I'm mostly talking about warm clothing here. It is cold, and you won't be moving around much to generate body heat. So dress for even colder weather than you think it is, and maybe grab a blanket. You'll also want to take in the sky from a comfortable position. So bring along a folding chair or one of those reclining loungers you used last summer. Finally, turn off your outside lights if you can, or at least find a wide open spot where you won't be in direct view of bright lights. The moon will be absent from the evening sky throughout early December. New moon falls on the 9th, and in the days after that, it'll be a fattening crescent in the west until reaching first quarter on the 17th. Now, I say first quarter not because it's only 1/4 sunlit, but because it's gone about a quarter of the way around Earth in its orbit since new moon. By the 23rd, the moon is full, and in December, it's sometimes called the long night moon. After that, it rises later and later each evening, and that'll give us some time at month's end to appreciate the night sky without having to fight all that moonlight. By early evening, only 5:30 or 6, the sun's already been down for more than an hour, and it's gotten dark fast. Like daylight itself, twilight is much shorter during winter months, so you can tell right away that there's plenty to see. You know, December's solstice, the unofficial start of winter, falls on the 22nd, at 1:08 a.m. Eastern Time, to be exact. But up above, the evening sky is still hanging on to some of the stars of summer. For example, look well to the upper right of where the sun set, about halfway up in the sky. That bright, icy white star is Vega, which is sometimes called the summer star because it rides high in the sky during the balmy evenings of July and August. But now it's low in the west, as if deflated by the oncoming cold. Catch Vega soon after dark, before it sets for good until next summer. Now it's time to get out the Stargazer's toolkit. Hold your arm out straight and make a fist. That fist covers about 10 degrees of sky, and it makes a handy tool, no pun intended, for measuring distances between the stars. Above Vega, by about 1.5 fists, is a slightly dimmer star called Deneb. It forms the head of the Northern Cross, which stands more or less upright during the evening at this time of year. Do you see it? The cross is about 2 fists tall. This is what astronomers call an asterism, a pattern of stars, like the Big Dipper, that's easy to spot but not really a full-fledged constellation. All those summer sparklers are being muscled out by the stars and constellations of winter, and there's no bigger or badder winter signpost than Orion the Hunter. To find him, turn completely around so you're facing southeast, and look for him beginning around 7:30 or 8 over the eastern horizon. He's striding steeply upward with his shield held up toward Taurus, the bull, which is above him in the sky. Orion is always advancing on Taurus, who always retreats backward across the sky as Earth rotates. The main stars of Taurus have the shape of a V lying on its side. The brightest star in that V, marking the angry bull's eye, is the slightly reddish star Aldebaran. Now, maybe Orion hasn't climbed above your eastern horizon yet, or maybe your view low down to the east is blocked by houses or trees. So now what? Easy. Look about halfway up in the east, a little more than a fist above Aldebaran, until you spy a fuzzy patch of light. This is the Pleiades, a tight little nest of stars. Sometimes they're called the Seven Sisters. If you've got decently sharp eyesight, you'll see that the 6 brightest stars of the Pleiades form a tiny dipper shape. Now don't confuse this with the real Little Dipper, which is much bigger and located due north in the sky. Once Orion is up, you'll see a stunningly bright star to his left. That's actually the planet Mars. Can you detect a hint of yellow or peachy coloring? We call it the Red Planet for a good reason. The rocks on its surface are tinged with rust. Later this month, Mars will be directly opposite the Sun in the sky. It'll rise as the Sun sets and remain in view all night long. Right now, Mars is gliding through the constellation Gemini. Gemini's twins are stick figures holding hands, and right now they're lying on their sides with their heads to the left. Mars is where the knee of the upper twin would be. Marking their heads are the moderately bright stars Castor, the higher one, and Pollux. Above them, roughly halfway to overhead, is the brilliant star Capella. Now, December always gets a star on my calendar because that's when we can see the Geminid meteor shower, which this year will be at its best on the night of Tuesday, December 13th. If it's cloudy, Wednesday night should be good too. During a meteor shower, you'll see far more shooting stars than normal because Earth is crossing the orbit of a comet and plowing through a cloud of particles shed by that comet along its orbit. In the case of the Geminids, the comet is an object called Phaethon. Phaethon is basically an extinct comet, one that's been heated up so many times that it's run out of gas. Dead or alive, the particles that Phaethon spewed into space are still hanging around, and every year, in mid-December, we plow right through them. We call this shower the Geminids because the meteors you'll see all seem to streak across the sky from the direction of Gemini. It's a little like rain hitting the windshield of a moving car. Even though you know the raindrops are falling gently from the sky, they look like they're coming from just one direction, right at you, and fast. It's the same thing with a meteor shower. You'll see shooting stars zipping everywhere across the sky, but trace those streaks backward and they'll all seem to radiate from Gemini. The later you stay up on the 13th, the more meteors you should see. Ordinarily, astronomers can count on the Geminids to give us a pretty good show, maybe one meteor per minute from a really dark location. Most people think that the Perseids, which come in August, are the best meteor shower, but the Geminids are right up there, and you don't have to stay up until 3 a.m. to get a good view of them. While you're waiting for those Geminids, grab a pair of binoculars to check out the Pleiades star cluster. And if you want more sky watching tips, check out our website, skyandtelescope.com. Me, I'm headed in for some eggnog.